It's the Welsh Premier League podcast. Well, not really, because we're going to be talking Welsh Football League for the next half hour. In a gathering of an esteemed group, I have to say, we've got Rhys Griffiths, the Penobont manager here. Giza Hejato, who apparently put his boots on the other week, but he is actually known as the chairman of STM Sport. And we've also got Nana Barr from Taftswell and Jordan Jones joining us from Club Pildroid to wrap all things up. Jonah.
Yeah, we have broke the bank balance, mate. What we had is all gone now, you know. Griff arrived late in an aeroplane, pulled up just now. Nana came in a massive taxi, cost us a fortune, and Giza came on a bike.
I was thought you were going to say something bigger for Giza
no,
then.
But no. He's the chairman. I can't say nothing about Giza.
Always looking after money. So we're going to go through all three divisions and we'll check a few questions around as we go. But fundamentally, of the people we have around this table, Jonah, which one is catching your eye in terms of what they've achieved this season so far?
Well, you put me on the spot now, but I think I just had two.
I just had two
kicks, one off Griff and one off Nana. I think it's been. Listen, how tough, right, is the Welsh League to get out of? I think everybody who's going to listen to this podcast realise how tough the Welsh League is. The same's been said about the Cymru Alliance up north. Now it's stepped up a grade since the Welsh Premier went down to 12. Obviously, the leagues below have got better teams in it who would have been in the Welsh Premier. That's how hard it is to get out. Griff has a chance of finishing second, and for a club like Bridgend, I think it's fantastic. I think if you finish second behind a club as big as Llanelli, you've done a great job. He came second last year, so he's well on the road in management. Nana has gone from Coyder to Taftswell, but Nana, don't forget, won the league, the first Cardiff club in 40 years to win the league 5 years ago with Coyder Ely. So he's had a change now, and he has to restructure Taftswell and see what he can do with them. And Giza, STM are just that, you know, they're the story that everybody's been talking about in Welsh League football for the last nine seasons they've been formed. They've only missed out on promotion one time, and they're at the helm of Division 2 now and have a great chance of going into Division 1. So we got esteemed people sat around us in the football management structure.
I mustn't forget Jordan Jones, who's going to give us the neutrals answer for that, because I don't think anybody can kick him. Oh no, somebody could get John Jones from Club Pildroid. Which one of these three is showing promise this season?
All equal, really, to be honest. Nana Barr achieves a lot with Kyra Ely, and he's moved to Taftswell now. You have to look at the STM Sports story where they've risen through the leagues, as well as Griffo, a Welsh Premier League legend, has brought his own kind of things onto Penobont. So free, to be honest. I'm giving a neutral view, but I can't slip.
Okay, let's start at the top. We've got Rhys Griffiths with us. Now, Rhys, me and you have spoken a couple of times. I just want to step back, actually, to the time when you got tapped up for the Penobont job and you felt that management was the way forward. Why have you gone for management? What's the excitement?
Well, I knew as a player that my playing days as a centre forward certainly were coming to an end. I was getting frustrated with my body. So I'd already made a decision that regardless of what playing offers came in, I wasn't going to play. And the Penobont job became available, and it just fit me in terms of location, in terms of the ambition of the club, and also a little bit it gave me the opportunity to go under the radar a little bit. I watched something with Jurgen Klopp the other day, and he was talking about how Guardiola was under the radar with Barcelona B side, but learning his trade, and then slowly but surely came to the fore. I just felt with Penobont, it would be the perfect place for me, really. In terms of why management, I think if you ask the players I've played with, probably people were saying in my early 20s I was a know-it-all then. So I was always going to go into management. I think my personality lends itself to certain aspects of management. Perhaps other attributes I have or personality traits don't. It's not for me to say, I suppose. But no, just something which, and I love the game. I love the game more now than I ever have. In terms of, you know, there's nothing better than playing, and my enthusiasm for playing has dwindled over the years because I keep picking up injuries. But in terms of studying the game, watching the game, learning about, listening about the game, it's gone through the roof for me since I've been a manager. So it was obviously a good choice.
Do you feel you've been able to put what you want to do into practice at Penobont? You know, is there a free rein? Do you have a philosophy that you're able to push in?
Yeah, very much so. I think philosophy is a buzzword in football these days, and but rightly so, because you can't go somewhere and do what other people want you to do, because you'll fail. Again, name dropping, but Chris Coleman, I was listening to him speak once, and he said that he was trying to do what Gary Speed used to do at Wales, and he was failing. And then he tore it all up, started again his way, and we all know the success they've had. So Bont, I get plenty of backing from the board. They don't question me in any way in terms of the way we try and play. We've got the 3G, so it would be remiss of us not to try and play football. And we try and do that. The problem we have is the transition onto grass. It's difficult. You know, we don't always get it right on 3G, don't get me wrong, but certainly on grass we have problems at times. And that's something we're working through.
Is there more pressure on you every season to get into the Welsh Premier League? Maybe not from the board, maybe expectation from the players, maybe expectations from the supporters.
Well, the biggest expectations from myself. So certainly this year I felt I wanted to win the league. We're not going to do that. It's disappointing. I can put my finger on quite a few reasons why. One of which is that Llanelli, who I think will win, have been very strong. So you've got to dip your hat to them, really. But the expectation is growing. But as a club, we're growing and getting to a place where we're going to be comfortable going to the Welsh Prem. And last year, although I was disappointed that we didn't win it to go up, we wouldn't have been ready. And debatably, you could argue that this year as well. So next year, we'll be further down the line in terms of that readiness. And then hopefully, once the team achieves it, it might not be next year, it might be 10 years, who knows. But the club will be ready as a whole to move forward.
You are now 2 games to go, while some of the other teams in the league have got about 5 or 6 games to go. Are you already focused on next season? Have you got your shopping list?
You've got to have one eye on the future all the time, I think. But we've got the 2 teams we're playing, both in the top 4. One of which, Halford West, are still in the hunt for the championship, despite their loss to Llanelli. So we've got a duty to every team in the league to do our best in those games, particularly to Llanelli. But we've got pride as well, and we want to finish second if that's possible, and once that becomes impossible, we want to finish third, and so on. And I think potentially we could finish as low as 7th. Don't quote me on that, but which, considering where we have been, in terms of we were first a couple of weeks ago, albeit we always had played more games than everyone else, it would be a disaster. So we want to win the last 2 games.
I noticed last season, me and Jonah, when we were talking about the Welsh Football League, talked about Goitre of Gwent and Goitre United having a bit of a late rally. They don't seem to be that emphasis on them this season. Do you know what's gone on there? What are you thinking about some of the other teams you've played this season?
Difficult question to answer. I think with Goitre United as an example, I think they've lost a couple of players who were key for them. Curtis Hudson was someone that we were interested in. He chose Goitre, and then he's left and gone to Australia, I think. So that's a big loss for them. But like us, at certain times they haven't put it together, and their manager will know more about that than me. The fall of Goitre Gwent has been, I think everybody's raised eyebrows about that. I haven't seen them play since they played us, but they've always give us very tough games. Very physical side, very direct. The opposite to us in many respects. So I was very shocked that they lost 10-0 to Cumbrand Celtic, but maybe we give credit to Cumbrand Celtic.
And Undy came up 2 seasons ago and everybody thought they were going to go down that season, and they've still held their own again this season, I think. What do you think of them?
Well, they beat us last minute. We had 10 men for an hour, but they beat us last minute at their place. You know, we feel aggrieved that we probably deserved a draw, but I'm sure they felt they deserved the 3 points. But it's a tough place to go, and they've got some good players, and they're organised and they care. There are some good sides in this league. There's no real whipping boys. We lost to Llanelli the other week, then we had a good result against Portel, but then we go down to Cumbrand Celtic and get turned over. So you can't take your eye off the ball at all. Undy are a decent side.
One last question about your division. Obviously, the talk about the future is that there will be a Championship South and there'll be a Championship North. Of the clubs that you play in that top league of the Welsh football, how many do you think would make it into a Championship?
I think even Llanelli will have to strengthen a little bit. It is a step up. it's a step up more than anything in intention and in professionalism in terms of, you know, I hate to say it, but we have players who want to go on holiday. They want to go skiing. You don't get that at Welsh Prem level. And if you do, you're up the road. I didn't miss a game. I never missed a game. And my family members knew that if there was a wedding, I wouldn't be there. So that's the commitment it takes to go on to the next level, Welsh Prem, and then beyond. I think when you get to our level, it starts to fall away a little bit. And that's an issue for the league. It needs to improve.
Jonah, wrapping up on Rhys's division, what do you think of Penybon's performance and what do you think of the challenges for the other clubs?
Well, I just like to say there's a couple of players like from the Welsh League, like I said, that's why it's improving. He's just mentioned Curtis Hudson from Goitre United, a young lad who's been around the leagues the last couple of years. I think he's played for Nana. He's at Kyrie Nan, is that right? Yeah, and he's got a contract in Australia. I think a young lad at Giza's club, Lamin Conte, that's in Division 2 at the moment, you know. He's had a trial a couple of weeks ago for Cardiff City. So, again, if there's clubs right from professional leagues coming to watch the teams, obviously in the Welsh Premier League, but obviously in Division 1 and Division 2 as well, it says the standard is, you know, it's improving. There's some good players around the Welsh League First Division, and it is tough, like Griff said, if you're going to stand up, it's really tough, most probably off the park more than on the park, but it's a good standard, mate, the Welsh League, make no bones about that.
Well, Nana, your season at Taff's well started all right, because you had a little visit from somebody called Cardiff City.
Yeah, I wasn't there then, but it was obviously when original management were there. They had Neil Warnock and the first team there, which I think was great for the club and gave the club great publicity, in fairness. And it's something that, you know, we'd like to reciprocate, but whether that happens, I don't know.
What does something like that do, though, throughout the season in terms of elevating people's, you know, feeling about the club?
I think, in terms of the club itself, the main part is you attract players. When you have a fixture that big, everybody wants to play in it. So it allows you, it gives you that bargaining tool. You know, it's not easy attracting players to clubs because a lot of clubs are financially better off. So you have to sell other elements of your club and what your club do to try to attract players. So for a club like Taftswell to have Cardiff City there, you know, it attracts players. It also brings a bit of publicity and brings the community into fold. And for me, that's the main thing for the club. You know, I think any club who has the community around it or back them up tend to do quite well. And I think you'll find Clonethley get big numbers week in, week out because the community are involved with that club. And I think, you know, for us, that was the biggest part of Cardiff City coming to us.
Is it an element that you are in a big city and obviously there's a lot of football going around in Cardiff week in, week out? You're just one of a club competing against that.
Well, we are. I mean, in Cardiff itself, in Division 1, you only have ourselves and Kyra. And then you have a few in Division 3 and Division 2, like STM. But there aren't that many clubs, I'd say, in Division 1 at the moment around the Cardiff area who have the facilities we have. And I think that's probably the main reason why Cardiff City came down. They did spend a lot of time on the surface, helping the service to improve. And it's still really good now, which, you know, it's positive for my players, especially the way we're trying to do things. You know, Rhys mentioned 3G. You know, 3G, a lot of people say the way forward. I'm always been a grass man. As long as that surface is well maintained and it's at a good standard. And it allows us, in effect, because we're able to play on a good surface. When we go to the likes of Penybon and others, we're able to perform again because it's even better again. Whilst for Rhys, it's the opposite, you know, because you get used to that quality surface and then you go to other clubs where the surface just isn't good enough, you know.
So you're part of that management team at Taftswell. Now, what's been the biggest challenge you've faced so far, do you think?
Changing attitudes. You know, Taftswell have been known to win quite a lot of cups in the past. You've had the same, when you have the same management there for a long time, people get used to their ways. And the same way it was probably for me at Kyra. Some of those players have been there for four or five years. The biggest challenge going there was, you know, first of all, trying to understand the dynamics of the group and then trying to impose my own philosophy and my own idea on it. And we lost a lot of players because of that, because players were so used to a certain way, they didn't want to change the mould and they didn't want to change and work the way that we wanted to work. So initially it started off great because as a new manager comes in, players have got a great buzz and you know they want to work for you and show what they can do. But when you start implementing your philosophy on them, if they don't like it, they'd leave. And that's the problem we had. We lost quite a few players as a result of that, including people like Sam Johnson, who didn't want to fit in to how the team dynamics worked, you know. And that's for me, that was the hardest part of it. You know, but apart from that, the transition has been quite nice. Norma has been fantastic. She's already become like my second mum at the moment. She gives me great advice on and off the field. She loves the game. She loves the club. And you got people like that in the background who are consistently trying to help you to make the club better because she has big aspirations for that club. That's a driving force for me as well. And it means that I can implement my element and what I want from that club without her not, you know, turning a blind eye to it. She likes to be involved. At the same time, she wants me to, you know, implement whatever I want to, and it's quite nice that way.
Was she a good counterbalance to those moments where you must have felt when people weren't accepting, like you say with Sam, you know, they wanted to move on, they wanted to play different. Was she a good positive counterbalance to that?
In her eyes, if you don't want to play for the club and you don't want to give everything to the club, then find another club. And she's been so supportive. There hasn't been a player. I mean, the players we've left have left either because they weren't playing or because they didn't play where they wanted to play. And when I've spoken to Norma about it, she's agreed because it's a basic fundamentals of management, really, in terms of what we're trying to get out of the players and the basic expectations of players. So in fairness, she's been really, really good. And we haven't, as of yet, we haven't disagreed on anything at all.
No rows yet?
No rows at all. She's really... Her main aim is the club to do well. When I sat down with her, she said, I want Taswell to be the biggest club in Cardiff, apart from Cardiff City. She wants it to be the biggest club. And, you know, she's gone out of her way. In terms of the academy, for instance, that we looked to start, it was all, although it was something that I wanted to bring in, she was already on the ball. You know, it was her who went and sourced the management group for the academy. So it just shows how much she wants it and how much she wants the club to do well. And I think she spent so many years putting so many hours into that club. I think the club now needs to show her what we're all about and give her that last thing she wants, which is that Welsh Premier expectation.
Academies cost money. That stuff costs money. The fact that she's going out to find it for you means that, well, you know, like you say, she's always wanted it. You've wanted it too. But it must be a challenging thing to find because everybody's after the money to make that difference, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really, really tough. I think the hardest thing about academies is getting the right people in those clubs because your reputation is on the line. In the past, I remember being with Kyra, we had youth teams and we've had to scrap the youth team because of the way management act or the way that team's acted. So it's been really, really important to get the right people in. It does cost money, but at the same time, we have to think about the bigger picture. If we can create a conveyor belt from under eight all the way to the senior side, the long-term aim is that we don't have to go too far out to source players, that all the players that we source are local or are part of the club and understand the club's DNA. That way, then, when they do come into the first team, the transition is very, very smooth and very easy. So the bigger picture, you know, it's a great thing, and no matter how much it costs, I think we need to invest heavily in that aspect of it, and that's what the club's doing.
Just come back to your time at Cairo, because Jonah told an interesting story before we started about the bus tour. Tell us the bus tour story.
Well, before we won the league, Jonah, you know, I speak to Jonah a fair bit, and he's like, you're going to win it, you're going to win it, believe it, we're going to win it. So we won the league then, and then Jonah joked, before we won the league, Jonah joked about, if you win the league, you've got to get on an open-top bus and drive around. So it was a joke in my eyes, and I didn't take it seriously. So we won the league, and then he gave me a call and said, so when are we going on this open-top bus? So once again, I still thought it was a joke. So we spoke to Cardiff Sightseers and said, look, we're thinking of doing a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing with the open-top bus. And they said, oh, we'll give you the bus for free. You know, we'll take you wherever you want. So Jonah turned up with the cameras and all the players, and we went around Cardiff playing loud music on this open-top bus on a summer's day. And people were just waving. Didn't know why they were waving. They just saw us waving in our kit, and they were just waving back. And honestly, the one thing that sticks in my mind is Jonah said to me, if you don't take the opportunity to do this thing, you'll never, ever get a chance again. And I am so glad I did it. Now, some people have mocked it and thought it was a serious thing, but it was just a tongue-in-cheek thing. It was a joke. You know, it was just for us to enjoy something that most clubs have never had a chance to achieve, which is win the Welsh League.
Don't forget, they're the first Cardiff club in 40 years to win it. Cardiff City were the last one before them, I think, in the 70s. So it was a big thing. People, like, you can under play it as much as you like, but them players will remember that, no doubt, like you said, whether it, you know, for the rest of their life, definitely. Hey, would you like to do it again next year?
I'd love that. We get two buses going then. One for us and one for the fans, yeah.
It's not going to happen this year?
Well, not this year, next year.
Yeah. He's hired a motorbike this year.
Yeah. This year we're just trying to stay in the league. Yeah.
And looking at your division, what's your assessment of some of the clubs that you front up to every week?
Well, it's been a really weird season. At the beginning of the year, we looked at the clubs and the players that clubs had, and we thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be the hardest ever league. And then halfway through, clubs started falling off. Some teams hadn't won at all. And then you go and play the bottom sides and you lose. And then you beat a top side, and then the bottom side beat a top side. It's a really inconsistent league. You know, I think the only consistent teams at the moment have been Pennybont, Havy West and Clonethly. Those three in reality have been the only ones who have kept on going. And even Pennybont didn't start great. You know, and in my opinion, restart again, a lot of criticism that he didn't deserve. And now he's shown people what he can do. You know, the team have gone from, I think it was 10th they were at one point, and have shot all the way up to second. And they deserve to be where they are, because I know how much work goes into that club and how much, you know, how much Reece puts in himself. But in terms of the teams, there's a lot of good teams. And Reece may touched on players going on holiday and things like that. I think what's happening when clubs can see that they can't win anything or financially it's not viable, some pull the money, players leave, and it becomes disjointed. So it's what you'll find is the team who are in the top five or six continue to push on. The team who are in the bottom four or five really, really work hard and have up and downs. And the middle teams just go up and down. Sometimes they win, sometimes they don't, because they know they're safe and they know they're not going to win it. They know they're not going to get relegated. So that's been a league, really. I couldn't put my finger on what the league actually is this year. It's been all over the place.
Is that an argument for smaller divisions, tighter leagues?
I don't think so. I think 16 is enough. 30 games a season is reasonable. I think the championship will change that, and I think it will increase the quality, because it is going to be down to facilities. And I think for years, as players, we've been arguing about the facilities, playing surface being better. I understand the Welsh League implementing the 250 seats, but for me, and I think for a lot of managers, the most important aspect of it all should be facilities in terms of playing surface. If that can improve, you naturally then attract better players because of the style of play. And then that then improves the size, and then the whole quality of the league improves.
Just a quick point about the weather. How's the weather over winter, the snow and everything, affected you guys?
Oh, it's been awful. It's been awful. Games have been called off. I think we at one point, when I was at Cairo, we went from played a game on December the 4th, and then there was no game till mid-January. It's difficult as a manager to keep the players, you know, on task and to train, because you can only train so much. And when you've done 6-7 training sessions and there's no game, people start to lose focus. You start to lose your way a little bit. And then when the games start, you're more or less starting the season all over again. And there's always the teams who can pick up results quicker that tend to do well. And I think that's been evident in the league since December. But the weather has been terrible. And once again, it goes down to playing surface, you know, the quality of the playing surface and drainage.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time on that, Nana. Jordan, what's your assessment on Taff's Wells League?
It's good to see a manager like Nana at Taff's Well. Just hearing Reece now and Nana, it's great to hear so much professionalism about the league and what they want to do. And like that helps a page like us in terms of, like, we want to professionalise the league. We want to make more coverage for it. So hearing people like Nana and Reece want to achieve the best of their clubs makes it sound like the Division 1 is on the up. Like, whatever happens with the restructures, it sounds like the South Walian football is actually on the up as well. You have people like Reece and Nana who want to implement what they want to do, want to reach the standards, want to get academies, want to get the best facilities. So it's great to hear like that. Division 1's been... it's good to see so many teams. You see the three teams that are in the top three now have all applied for promotion to the Welsh Premier League. So it merits that, and they all want to be in the Welsh Premier League, and they're trying to get to the standard of that too.
Well, let's move a step down, but how long for? Giza, STM Sports, Welsh Premier League football is your aim, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's a massive, massive way off for us. We look, so we've had 8 promotions in 9 years, and we're way, way behind Reese and Nana's clubs in terms of, we're almost opposite. We're great on the field, but off the field, our success has cost us. In terms of, we play at a rented ground, which isn't ours. Big plans for a new ground come in 3 years from now, so that the planning permission's gone in. The architects have done their thing. Council are on our side, so we're almost 3 years behind these guys before we can even think of Welsh Premier League. But promotion is the key. When I played, Jonah will tell you, Nana will tell you, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to win. That's no different when you come off the field. Reese is the same now. He talks about winning. And if you're a winner, it doesn't matter whether you're manager, player, chairman, you'll always want to win. So
one of the things that's really exciting about what you guys have achieved is it's, as the name suggests, STM, St. Mellons. I think you've been driven along by a bit of a community there, haven't you?
We have been driven by the community in many ways. We do get good gates, We average between 75 and 100 if there's a decent team comes to play us. And that's a lot of the community, even though we play in Lanremy on the university there on the 3G, we get a good following on the home games from the local community. Yeah, we do. We're lucky. We're lucky in that respect. A lot of the players have been at the club since day one. So if you go on Saturday's match squad, I think there was 8 or 9 people that started that were there when we kicked the first ball in the Cardiff combination.
And they've been good enough every time to take that step up, because one of the things we talk about with Barry is that obviously they've gone from 3 to Welsh Prem, kept the nucleus of the same side that they had in 3. Your players are good enough for each step, do you think?
The difference between us and Barry is our players are local. We don't pay a penny. We struggle to pay the bills, to be honest. And Nigel Bertram needs a big mention. He carried the club all the way up until... I got involved this season off the field because I kind of felt sorry for him, really. We had one guy with a dream and there was no way he could get there on his own. So I come in and tried to raise a bit of money for Nigel and was given this title of chairman, embarrassingly almost, because Nigel deserves to be chairman. He's Mr. STM. But I come on board to help Nigel. Yeah, and some of the players, our biggest challenge is to keep our players. People like Nana trying to nick our players. Reese hasn't come that far down Cardiff yet, but I'm sure he will. But we're really lucky in the sense that they're all local boys. They play together, and we've had clubs come in and offer, like Jonah said, the likes of Lamming, Conter, come in and offer these guys, decent money. Some of these lads don't work. They're young. And my advice to them sometimes is you have to look at it. If someone's going to offer you money that's going to make a difference to your life, we won't hold anyone back. Lamin's just an example of that. I can go through the team. Nipper Worsley, I played Welsh League, Welsh Premier. He's by far the most talented footballer I've ever seen at that level. And he's been there since day one. So to answer your question, 8 of the players from the day we started to now, 9 years ago, are still in the team. And they're still reasonably all young. They're still in their late 20s, 30. We've had a couple of old people like myself, Dale Gardner, come back. Dale's now our manager with Welsh League experience. But a lot of these boys as well, they've never played higher than Welsh League Division 2. So they're really talented boys.
Yeah, I hear you had to put the boots on the other day. How was that?
Painful, to be honest. Yeah, it felt like I was hit by a bus on Monday. But I say to Dale, if we're struggling for players, like Reese says, it is a bugbear that people just go on holiday, and I don't know if Reese feels the same. They don't tell you till the Friday before the Saturday that they're going. They've booked it last year, so we had players go to Florida for 2 weeks this year. It's a trip of a lifetime. What can you say to them? It's tough. But I was like Reese. I told my missus between September and July, don't book anything because I'm not interested. But it is tough. These kids, they're good players. This year we've implemented a youth team with a good friend of Jonah's, Johnny Jones, has brought his club along from Rumney. without that, five of those players have played for us this year. On Saturday, we go into the biggest game of our season against Lampwick Major away, and we haven't got a keeper, so we've got a youth team keeper in. But without the youth team, who knows, it might have been me.
And, well, that'll be worth seeing. And also, at the end of the day, however well you've done, there is still a race for the title and you are still facing competition.
Yeah, they're still, contrary to what these guest books say and others say outside, they say that, you know, it's sewn up. It isn't sewn up. It'll go to the death. It went to the death last year with us in Llantwit in Division 3. I think there's still four or five clubs. There's Llantwit, Ammanford, trying to shake them off, can't shake them off. They won again on the weekend. Llantwit are just getting over the line, signed some quality players, Rawlins and people like that. You know, Mike Hartley from Barrytown. So there's still four or five teams. I mean, will Saturday define the league? No, it won't. It's just another game, but the winner's got to be favourites to be in that.
I think it's so competitive between them all because, like I said, I think Dale Gardner, it must be 33 manager. The Broads, I think, are 30 or 31 managers at Ponty, and Carl Lewis at Lambert Major, 28. So these two old-timers next to me, Barr and Griffiths, are getting on a bit, aren't they?
It's a young man's game. Although, Joe, now, you have to say, one of the interesting things is, you know, STM and Llantwit came up last year. It's STM and Llantwit in the mix again. What is it about these two sides?
I just said, like you said, they've got a great set of players. What he's just told us there, Geezer, they've had nine players with him during the last like five or six seasons, and they're still playing every week. And you can tell he's passionate. He's telling you how good he thinks they are, and that's great to have. If you've got like a chairman and manager who really believes in a group of kids, that's what keeps them at clubs. Same goes for Griff. He's had players there this year. I'm sure they could have gone to the Welsh Premier. I know they could have gone to the Welsh Premier, and they stay for the manager. And Nana's going to create that at Taffswell like he created it at Kyrareely. You know, the manager's role is a massive role in, and you, if you can get on with the players, if you can get love between the manager and the players, you've got half a chance of creating a good football team. You know, they're in good, these boys are in big jobs in Welsh football now. You know, don't underrate, like I said, the strength of the first division. And if for STM, if they're going to join them next year, well, what a tough job that'll be. But seeing what they've done in the last 9 or 10 years, they look up to the mark. But a brilliant, brilliant title race in Division 2. I think of all the races, this is the race, I think.
Geezer, just one point on the organisation of a football club. Like you just said there, you're happy about the way things are happening on the pitch. You are reliant on more people every day to try and make you step up on the off of the pitch level, aren't you? So let's have a bit of a call for the people of that area to help you out, I suppose.
It's tough. It's tough. You know, we're a local club. It's really tough. Going back to Reese's club, you know, playing against them over the years, they always seem to have a merry band of helpers, clubmen, board members. It's the same at Nana, touched on Norma. I know Taffswell well. My son played for the youth team and now he's playing for Nana. So I know there's not just Norma, there's Don, there's Malcolm, there's there literally is at that club running it, just me and Nigel. There's no other clubs in the area. It's tough. We don't play in St. Mellons. If we can just go home, I think it makes a big difference. If we can get that ground up and running, which is looking positive. We had a meeting Tuesday. The architect's done the drawings. All we got to do now is find the money and in the various pots that are available to the social side of it. But the club, like I say, we're almost doing it backwards, I guess. We've got there. Now we got to follow through with the rest of the stuff off the field. But, you know, going back on what you said about Division 2 and Division, why teams seem to do well when they come out of Division 3, it's momentum, it's what Jonah said. If you're winning, if you've got that breed, like these kids, 8 promotions in 9 years, they don't know how to lose. So when they go to these teams, you know, it's like Penydarren this year, they beat us twice, and it's momentum, the momentum, and it, what we got to do is get the momentum off the field, on the field, off the field, and start going. There are other people to help. There's Tony stands on the gate, selling the programmes. There's people who pick the kit up. But it literally is. It's hard financially to run just a second division Welsh club. You know, never mind what these guys are. You know, we're a little way behind these. Welsh Premier is a massive dream for us. It's round the corner for Nana and Rhys.
Coming back to Penydarren, you could be our Penydarren representative then, because they're not around the table, but they definitely want to be at this Welsh League table. Do you think they're up for it?
Yeah, 100%. They're one game we were unlucky, but the other game they give us a good spanking, to be fair. And they're players, their club, you know, they did very, very well, and good luck to them. I hope they go on and have three or four promotions and get it. They deserve it. They got good players. Seen what they did in the Welsh Cup. You know, they were only stopped by Bangor, who are probably in the top five. Are they? I don't really follow the Welsh Premier too much, but yeah, no, good luck to them. Good luck.
You don't listen to our podcast?
I listened once, but Jonah talked too much, so I didn't want to, you know.
We can do an edited version of it.
It's the 45 phone calls I get a week off them as well, so a podcast is a bit much, to be honest.
Yes, Penydarren, very exciting, of course. Very soon they're going to be the biggest club in Merthyr, aren't they? Anyway, moving on. One last question about the future, guys, before we move on. And I'll start with you, Rhys. It's about a proposed restructure, and it's about what the shape of Welsh football should look like. Talk of a championship, talk of a restructure of those leagues below. If you were the fairy godmother and you had the magic wand, how would that below the Welsh Premier League look for you in terms of structure?
I've never had a wand, I'll tell you that much. I don't know, really. I think certainly something I would like to see come in is a playoff between the second from the south and the second from the north. So it would mean three teams would come down, but at the moment it's too difficult to get out of the league. This year it appears to me that Llanelli are that much stronger. They definitely deserve to go up, but if it's nip and tuck, it's sometimes you can be very unlucky to be second. And I think if that happens 2, 3, 4 times in a row, then it becomes quite difficult. So I certainly think a playoff between north and south for a third spot. It would create interest as well. Nana touched on it. Players lose interest when they've got less to play for. That's why the Welsh Premier has created this new system, so that everybody, in theory, has always got something to play for, and that's the way it's working out. Whether you like it or not, that's fact. So I think we need to give teams more to play for if they're not going to win the league.
What about you, Nana?
It's a tough one, because obviously I've been at a club like when I was with Jonah Dennis. We finished second, we couldn't go up because of facilities. At Kyra, we won the league, we couldn't go up because of facilities. In all, I think we all want the league to improve. You know, we want the standard of everything in the league to improve. And I think the way that the Welsh League is looking in terms of the championship is a positive. You know, it's a real positive, and I think what they're obviously trying to do is allow, give everyone the tool. So if you do win the league, you can go up. But like Rhys has said, it is very, very tough. You know, you have to ask yourself, how many players can say, I've got a Welsh League medal? And not many. You know, not many can say that. I mean, the Barry side that went up, 6 of them were my players. You know, so there are a few players who can say, I've got 2 medals. It's a very, very tough league, and Geezer touches on it. Finance is a huge, huge problem. And next year is going to be even tougher again, because clubs have spent quite a lot of money to make sure they've met the criteria. I mean, I went to play a school game at Pennybond, and they had taken down the old stand and they're building a new stand. You have to ask yourself, well, how much is that costing? Where's that money all coming from? So, you know, the more funding I think we can get from the Welsh FAW into the grassroots and to Welsh League, the better it is. And I think it will then, like Rhys said, will create that bit of something to play for. You know, having one team go up, there aren't many leagues, national leagues, that have that system where only one team goes up. You know, and I think there needs to be, if they are looking to improve this championship thing, then there should be one or two from each league that goes up.
What about you, Giza? If you had the magic wand, how would you restructure Welsh football?
I think Rhys's point is a fantastic point. Three teams come down, top two, top one and one, and the two have a playoff. That's a fantastic idea. It creates great competition between the north and south as well. And I think the FAW, I'm all for positive change. No one should be rejected on ground criteria in an ideal world. You know, Nana's done it. We did it at Dinis. We got in a position where we could go up, and we turned down because our ground isn't good enough. So ideally, that's what you'd want. Is a position where every team in that league, and I know the FAW, just by being involved from STM point of view with ground changes and stuff, they are trying, and I think it should be, you know, we should embrace the change, because it's needed. The Welsh League hasn't had change for certainly the 15, 20 years I've been involved in it, And you know, if we're going to attract people like Reece into the Welsh League, we need to give them almost a route to go back to where they belong, in, at the top of Welsh football. And don't forget, Welsh League Division 1 at the moment is the second highest league in our country. You know, should the FAW be doing more? I think they should, yeah. Just by, you know, knowing how hard it is to run a club and get facilities and everything. But I don't think the blame shouldn't just be pointed at the FAW. You know, we did fantastically well in the Euros. How much of that money filtered through to grassroots football? You know, kids, and Nana's talk about academies. I know Penny Bonk are a fantastic academy. You know, we've got an under-11s and a youth team, you know, but it's a step in the right direction. We never had. So I think if everyone just pulls together, it just seems for the Welsh League and the FA, there seems to be a divide. And I'm just being open and honest because that's what I'm here to do. I think the Welsh League needs a total revamp from the top to the bottom in terms of the people running it. They run it for too long. You can't run an organisation for that long and expect it to change. They need. I'm not saying kick these guys out. I'm saying let's get some young blood in there. Let's get some, ideas. Reece has come up with an idea for me that solves the problem. Two teams, one either go up and have a playoff. Isn't it what the conference do? Don't they have a playoff to go up? And it just, to me, if everyone works together, you know, it'll ripple effect. So if we get a championship in order, the next division will follow and follow and follow. And I just think we need to work together. And whether that's, you know, the FAW in the Welsh League, they need to sit down and be one, not be at loggerheads. That's my view on things. Like I say, we're miles behind at the moment off the field, so we can only dream of just being in a position to go up and challenge these boys. But I think, you know, Reece's facilities are fantastic. Taff's Wells ain't far behind, really. I'm not like Nana. I think 3G is the way forward because of the weather in this country. You know, we're lucky we play on a 3G, so we're a bit like Reece. We played all our own games now and we got all away games to come. But Nana made a valid point. If you look at our away record, we are getting better. It's not as good as our home record because we go and play on grass pitches. So I think it is moving forward, but everyone's got to get together. Otherwise, it's always going to, you just keep banging your head against a brick wall.
Jordan, you can take the helicopter view on this one, as they say in business speak. What do you think?
I think the plans the FAW are trying to implement is a positive change. You've got a lot of progression. I echo the sentiments of what everyone said here, in that for too long there's been a few clubs that have been in the position for promotions to the Welsh Prem, but just haven't taken it. So they finished in the top two, top three, just haven't had the facilities now. So the FAW are working hard. They're trying to add more coverage to the leagues by doing that. So when the FAW does take over the Welsh League, and that's up in North and the South, but I think the South need it a bit more. With the Welsh League at the moment is that you're not sure what clubs are going up or not. So bringing in a championship where, like, it's going to improve the standard, clubs can have all these facilities, then it's only going to benefit Welsh football, because then that makes it, it can even reach a semi-professional standard, because some teams don't pay at the moment. But, like, over time, if it improves, then clubs can start to pay players because of the facilities improving, and it only benefits everyone else as well.
Brilliant. Jonah, we've kept these people, very busy people, from their bread and butter job for nigh on 30-odd minutes now. Unfortunately, that means I have to give you some time to speak, not half an hour extra, obviously. Your final thoughts on what we've heard today from all of this lot?
Excellent. Absolutely. You know, they're young boys in there. They were all great players, by the way. And they're all.
Is that because you used to pick him for your time?
not everybody, as Crip will tell you. But he was a mistake, or I let him go. But that was a big mistake, by the way. But look, they're very. You can tell they're football people, Mark. You only got to sit in the company of them. You know, we're all sat around this table. You're in their football people. Great ideas, like you said. They're not even. I think the oldest one out of them is 34, something like that, right? So, it's like you said. You've got to, sometimes you've got to listen to the youngsters as well as. Right, OK.
I'll take 34 as well, mate.
OK, well, they might be 35. But, they're full of ideas, and why not? Why not? And all their clubs are doing well. And, the future's with the youngsters, isn't it?
No, it's a load of rubbish. Old people know better, and you know that as well. So all I've got to say is thank you to Reece Geezer, Jordan and Nana, and of course Jonah, as forever, for the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it, gentlemen. We'll try and do another one at the end of the year when you can tell us about all the money you're spending on next season's players, yeah?